Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. This morning we're looking at the truths of the Reformation, and the second thing that we're looking at today, especially the doctrine, is salvation by grace alone or sola gratia. Let me read two passages of Scripture, and then I'll continue my message. Romans chapter 3, verses 23 and 24 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified as a gift by His grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus." And then also Ephesians 2, and then verses 8 through 10. "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, that no one should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Let us bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, we ask your blessing upon us as we think about and meditate on the truths of your word. Lord, we ask you to be our teacher and our guide. Help us to understand, not only for our own sakes, but for being able to communicate with others around us that need to hear the good news of what Jesus has done for them, and that they can cease striving to earn God's favor, to earn a place in heaven, to earn peace with you. But they can rest in the finished work of Christ, because salvation is by grace through faith in Christ alone. We ask that you help us to understand the truth that was rediscovered once again at the time of the Reformation, that the church has needed to proclaim from the very beginning and has done so in so many different ways. And I pray that our church might continue to make that clear proclamation as well. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. The first sola of the Reformation is Scripture alone, that the Scripture alone is sufficient for all teaching and doctrine for the Christian life and faith. The second sola of the Reformation is that of grace alone, or the Latin phrase sola gratia. It means that it's God's grace in contrast to human efforts and human works. As we look through some of these points, let me mention in advance, if I quote Martin Luther, it's not because Martin Luther never made mistakes or he was the person we idolize. We don't follow Martin Luther, but we agree to some of the doctrines that Martin Luther rediscovered in the Scriptures, things that were there from the very beginning that were lost sometimes in large parts in some of the visible church over the years up until the time of the Reformation, but still present during that whole period of time, nonetheless. So when I quote Martin Luther, to the degree that he agrees with Scripture or clarifies or explains Scripture, then I quote him. And if he's wrong, then either I'll quote him to say he's wrong in this area, or I won't quote him at all. But as we deal with grace alone, we begin by asking, what is grace? And negatively, we have to say, what is grace? Negatively, we look at what it's not. Grace is not something that God infuses into a person whereby he can do good works to become justified or holy. That's basically the Roman Catholic understanding of grace. In baptism, God gives you his infused grace so that you can become justified by your good works. Positively, the Scripture teaches again and again that it is almost every time the word grace is used, it's used in the sense of God's unmerited or undeserved and unearned favor for Christ's sake. That God has a favorable attitude toward you, not because you've done enough good works, but because of what Jesus has done on your behalf. It's a legal forensic term that the believer in Jesus is declared innocent before an infinitely holy God. The secondary meaning of grace in the Scriptures, which is far less common, is the power God gives to the believer to live the Christian life, but that's in no way to earn his or her salvation. Martin Luther said, he explained that God's grace is God's unmerited favor with this quote, "According to the usage of Scripture, grace signifies that favor of God which wishes us well and justifies us. That is, it freely grants us the faith which alone justifies us." And again, Luther said this, "Grace consists of this, that God is merciful to us, shows himself gracious for the sake of the Lord Jesus, the Lord Christ, forgives all sins, and will not impute or credit them unto us for eternal death. This is grace, the forgiveness of sins for the sake of the Lord Jesus, the covering up of all sins." And in one of our passages that I read today from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 9, we see clearly that salvation is listed as by grace you have been saved through faith. It's God's unmerited favor through faith in what Jesus has done for us. It is the gift of God. When someone gives you a birthday gift or Christmas gift, to pull out your wallet or your purse and say, now how much do I owe you for that? The definition of a gift is something that you don't earn. It's something that's given freely. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. If salvation is by works, some people are able to obtain heaven by their works and others not. Those who obtained heaven by their works would be able to pat themselves on the back and say, aren't I wonderful? Look at me, I'm better than all these other people. But it's not a result of works, so that no one may boast. Verse 10 continues, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. The normal aspect of a Christian life is that we do good works. We love our husband or wife. We love our children. We're kind to our neighbor. We work hard at work. Those are good works that oftentimes we do without even thinking. Those are normal things. Of course, normal according to the new nature that we have in Christ. But the good works that we do are the result of who we are in Christ and the forgiveness and favor that has been granted to us by God for us in Christ by his grace. Grace is God's favor without cause or merit on our part. Sometimes maybe you've heard this, maybe you've said it yourself, but God has to do his part in my salvation and I have to do my part. And if by your part, and only in this definition, if by your part you mean you are a sinner by nature and you sin in thought, word, and deed, yes, indeed, you've done your part and I've done my part as well. Romans 3:23 reminds us, for all have sinned, and this is speaking of our sinful nature, that we have sinned. When our first parents sinned, all of their descendants sinned. What they did so many years ago affected all the generations that would follow, including each one of us. For all sinned, and pointing to the historical event of what we call the fall. And then the second part, and fall short of the glory of God, is in the present tense. It's the idea that we continue day by day to fall short of God's standard of holiness. God says to love our neighbor. And we say, you know what? I'm more important than my neighbor. And it's all about me and what I want. And sometimes that's reflected in our own families. Do we defer to one another? Of course, that's not our natural response. But to say, oh, you go ahead. You take the biggest piece. What would you like to do? Where would you like to go? Sometimes we're willing to make huge sacrifices. I'd lay down my life for my wife or my kids. But you better give me the remote. Or I'm going to get the biggest portion. I'm going to grumble and complain if something is not exactly the way I like it. We continue to fall short of God's glory, even for those who are believers. But listen to this, being justified as a gift by his grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus. My confidence, your only confidence, is that Jesus declares us, because we are declared righteous because of Jesus' sacrifice for us. Even on our best days, we fall short. And our confidence again and again is going back to what Jesus has done on our behalf. The idea of being justified freely or without merit in me, Jesus used this phrase in a negative sense, not talking about salvation, but quoting from the Old Testament in John chapter 15, verse 20 through 25, especially verse 25 is where we hear this expression. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. This is a promise of Jesus as well. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours. They will also keep yours. But all these things they will do on account of my name, because they do not know him who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not have been guilty of sin, but now they have no excuse for their sin. Whoever hates me hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works that no one else did, they would not be guilty of sin. But now they have seen and hated both me and my Father. But the word that is written in their law must be fulfilled. They hated me without cause. This is what grace is in a positive sense. They hated Jesus without cause, for no reason. And that's the opposite is God is favorable toward me without cause or for no reason. It's not because I've been so good that God says, okay, he's good enough, he's in. Or you're good enough, you're in. God looks at us in Christ and says, not guilty. Not because you're not guilty, not because I'm not guilty, but because Jesus has taken your guilt and paid the penalty for that crime against an infinitely holy God. We see, as we studied both the Old and New Testament, we see in the scriptures that justification is not by works, but by grace. There are quotes going back to Abraham that Abraham believed God and it was reckoned to him considered to him, counted to him as righteousness. His faith in the promise of God, ultimately the promise of the Messiah. In Romans chapter 4, 6 through 8, Paul is arguing in that whole chapter, both Abraham and David were justified by faith. And in this portion, speaking of King David, just as David also speaks of the blessing on the man whom God credits righteousness apart from works, blessed are those whose lawless deeds have been forgiven and whose sins have been covered. Blessed is a man whose sin the Lord will not take into account. And the idea of our lawless deeds being forgiven, our sins being covered up. Not covered up in the sense of, oh, pretend they didn't happen, but covered up because they've been dealt with and taken care of. Luther, again, speaking of God's grace, highlights that grace is never earned. Grace is freely or gratis, given to the most undeserving and unworthy, that is not obtained by any strenuous efforts, endeavors, or works, either small or great, not even by the efforts of the best and most honorable men who have sought and followed righteousness with a burning zeal. He also says that to want to merit grace by works which precede or come before faith is to want to appease God by sins, which is nothing but adding sins to sins, laughing at God and provoking his wrath. The idea that if I try and earn God's favor by my good works, it's mocking God's grace. It's mocking God's graciousness. And even further provoking his wrath. Changing the meaning of God's grace from his unmerited favor, which is what the Bible teaches, his unmerited favor for Christ's sake, to something else is to change the doctrine of salvation, how a person is saved. And that is the very heart and core of the scriptures, and is such a serious attack that it should never go without a well-reasoned scriptural argument to disprove such an attack. The idea that if someone is saying, I'm saved by my good works, it's our job to say, that's not what the Word of God teaches, or that's not what God has revealed, or that's not the purpose for which Christ died on the cross for our sins. The Protestant Reformation proved to be necessary because many in the visible church in the 1500s were misunderstanding and inaccurately teaching about how a person is saved. The struggle for Martin Luther himself was how he could know for sure whether or not he had ever done enough good works to pay for his debt of sin. And he came to realize from his study of the scriptures that he had never done enough good works, even though Martin Luther probably did more than most of us. In his punishment and his fastings and his punishing of his body. His salvation and the forgiveness of sins through works, that is human effort or merit, or by God's undeserved favor toward penitent believers in Christ. Let me answer that question with four passages of scripture, two from the book of Galatians and two that we looked at already briefly. From Galatians chapter 2, 15 through 16, the Apostle Paul, inspired by God's Holy Spirit, recorded these words. We ourselves are Jews by birth, not Gentile sinners. Yet we know that a person is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. So we also have believed in Christ Jesus in order to be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law. Because by works of the law, no one will be justified. And then chapter 3 of Galatians, verses 1 through 9. The Galatians who had begun by trusting in Christ alone for salvation began to go to obedience to the law to maintain and to earn that salvation. O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? It was before your very eyes that Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified. Let me ask you only this. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing with faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? Did you suffer so many things in vain? Indeed, if indeed it was in vain, does he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you do so by works of the law or by hearing with faith? Just as Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness? Know then that it is those of faith who are the sons of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, in you shall all the nations be blessed. So then those who are of faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. Then Romans 3:23 through 24, for all have sinned and continue to fall short of the glory of God, being justified as a gift by his grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus. And then in closing, Ephesians 2:8 through 10, once again, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not the result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we should walk in them. Let us bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise that you have done what is necessary for our salvation, and that you show your favor, your grace toward us, not because of our good works, not because of our efforts, not because of our sacrifices, but because of the sacrifice that your Son made on our behalf. And we trust in his finished work for us. Help us to continue to trust in Jesus in all circumstances of life and even in the face of death and persecution. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.